The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. And everything will be just fine.
Madam, are you sure you want to do this? Awaken the old god and multiply?
I'm not going to multiply, darling. And my family goes way back with the old god, so I'm sure he'll be fine with it.
Well, maybe the others will multiply. I'm struggling to see the point of all this.
Well, then don't worry about it. Oh, I need the name of your tailor so Stefan can be properly fitted for a loincloth.
Oh, now I see the point of it.
Greetings, my dear guests. Welcome. Good evening. Yes, come right in. Oh, don't you look lovely? Honestly, we have the most stylish guests of any of the ancient hellbound sacred libraries around. You always look so nice. Yes, you do hear goats. Not ghosts, goats, and maybe some lambs. Little lambs around. You're not hallucinating yet. I would say we've taken up livestock farming, but really they're just visiting for a short while until spring as playmates for Irma and the wolf pups, of course. Please scoot along into the reading room. There you go. Quickly along to your seats. It's filling up fast. And our overflow accommodations aren't quite as cozy. Welcome to the Midnight Library Reading Room, my dear guests. I am your harmless host, Miranda Merrick. My word. Oh, let me get right to the reason for so many of you visiting this evening. Yes, I know the village is all abuzz with whispers through the grapevine that something strange is afoot here on the grounds of the Midnight Library. When are there not such rumors? But this rumor in particular is more absurd than usual, my lovelies. An ancient, weird, and amorous ritual in the name of romance and fertility? Why on earth would all of us here be positively thrilled to revive and participate in such a ridiculous thing? I mean, other than to grow our rich and varied powerful bloodlines destined to enslave the common folk, which would never happen, probably. Well, there is no reason. How silly. I do believe, however, that knowledge is power. No, you still can't touch the books. So tonight, I am thrilled to enlighten all of you on the much bygone sacrament and celebration of Lupercalia. Oh, and yes, what kind of host would I be if we didn't offer you some of the foods mentioned in this strange, frolicking feast day? Or at least, our versions of them on the hospitality tray. With apologies to our vegetarian friends. Do we have any vegetarian friends? I know it's tricky nowadays. We have some manner of roasted lamb or goat with vegetables. I can't say much more about that. There's something that resembles blood-colored wine and a very rare and carefully baked petite cakes, which, depending, may be difficult to obtain authentically for reasons. More on this later. There is no manner of dog on the hospitality tray, but the beloved animal does make a brief appearance in tonight's story, and we'll get to this too. One thing is certain. Nothing you consume from the tray will cause you to have ravenous gelatinous belly worms. That was last week. Now, my lovelies, I want you to just quickly think of the last celebration you truly enjoyed. I know that many of you are gorgeous private wallflowers and spooky private introverts. But if you can recall even being on the fringe of, say, a street party, a bonfire, a parade, or perhaps even some sort of lively town event that commemorated or venerated some one or some holiday, and maybe had an outpouring of music, dancing, decorations, and food, perhaps like the midnight market, a little bit, for whatever reason. And you found yourself momentarily lightened by its joyous mood. The costumes, colors, music, and treats parted you from your worries and the dullness of everyday life, causing feelings of hope and thoughts of bright days in the future. And were there an air of romance infused in the atmosphere as well? Well, who among us wouldn't warm to this? Long, long ago, more than 2,000 years ago in Rome, and possibly in ancient Greece, a long time before that, the wild and lively festival of Lupercalia was held each year on February 15th. But the roots of the frisky festival are tangled and mysterious, of course. There are, however, many luscious and interesting clues to the subtleties of every aspect of the celebration that hint at its complex beginnings and its nature, including the name of the month in which it was held, the stories of the people and the animals involved, the old god Pan, and the vastly odd to us today customs they performed, which were said to guarantee romance, true love, and the fertility of the participants. Given all of this, well, it's hard for me to imagine why such an impassioned, resonant ritual shouldn't be revived, which we won't be doing. And speaking of the god Pan, I wonder if he might just be bestowed with his own reading one day because, we're fond of anything with horns around here. Lupercalia is the highly unusual and hearty holiday happening, steeped in mystery. The early event, somehow involving goats, dogs, wolves, fertility, and the god Pan, happened reliably for centuries and centuries in the past, until someone put a stop to it, or perhaps replaced it entirely with something nicer and all sweet and flowery. Ugh. Excuse me. So, spooky lovelies, let me tell you what happened. One clue may be in the name of the month, February, in which the popular feast day was held. There once was an ancient Roman god named Februus, and many people think the month was named for him. But he was actually named after the month, which in Latin was Februa, which by tradition was the time early in the year that many took part in a washing or bathing ritual. This ritual was so old and prevalent, the month of February is believed to have been named after it. Curiously, in Middle English and very old French, the word Februa meant febrile or fevered, and a person with a fever has a condition for which one might be bathed, washed, or gently tamped to treat, calm, cool, or to soothe. I wonder if this fever and bathing talk in the early part of the year could be the first notes or emergence of something called spring fever, perhaps. Now, all of this talk of naming things and folks having a sponge bath is fun, but I do believe we should turn our attention to talk of wolves and progenitors. Ages ago, this coquettish pre-spring revelry was said to begin in a certain place each time, in a cave that held within it a statue, a graven image of a life-saving creature whose caring gift shaped a space on the face of the globe and brought forth the city of Rome. The cave was called Lupercal. It was named after the glorious she-wolf who is the hero of the legend of Romulus and Remus. In a nutshell, my lovelies, there was a king, King Amulius, or perhaps Amulius, who was so disappointed that his sister had become pregnant and given birth to his twin nephews, that he ruled that the baby boys were to be tossed into the raging Tiber River. How kind. But a kindly servant, knowing what a controlling, weak lunatic the king was, instead placed the babes into a woven basket and set it upon the river, giving them at least a chance of surviving. The basket was said to have been guided by a river god downriver until it became caught in the low branches or the bank roots of a wild fig tree. The baby boys were then found by the she-wolf, who took them to a cave and nursed the abandoned infant brothers, Romulus and Remus, saving their lives. The cave became known as Lupercal, and the word in antiquity for wolf is lupa. In time, the twins were adopted by a couple, a local shepherd and his wife. When they became grown men, they murdered the miserable king. Near the den where they were suckled by the she-wolf, they founded the city of Rome. Some writings proclaim that Lupercalia was begun to honor the wolf and to please Lupercus, the Roman god of fertility. Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by the Broom and Fang Pub. This spring, all spooky lovelies, let's meet at our secret club for romance, food, and bubbly at the Broom and Fang Pub. Lupercalia is the reason. We're reviving it for you. Jump start the sexy season, but don't tell whatever you do. Underneath your dress coat, wear a loincloth or a gown. Bring a lamb or even an old goat to show you're not messing around. After some polite dancing and a chew on the fancy grub, the party will be advancing beneath the Broom and Fang Pub. Behind the statue of Pan is a door that leads to a cave. Here we will break the ban and burst out into a rave. There'll be games of frolic and kiss chase and music and wine in this segment. By morning, you'll be back in your good grace. But some of you, might be pregnant. You didn't hear me correctly, my guess. So be sure not to meet us for the forbidden festival of the old god Pan that's totally not happening this spring on February 15th at the Broom and Fang Pub. No way. Not gonna happen. Never. See you there. Just to reiterate, my lovelies, this ancient and spirited ritual is so old that it was considered ancient even in Roman times. Now, it is here that I should like to describe for you in a bit more detail what was hinted at by our sponsor, the Broom and Fang Pub. On the morning of February 15th, The people of Rome, and I'm guessing a few surrounding cities, would begin preparing the feast foods. Begging your pardon, but the truth is, sacrificial animals were slaughtered. Lambs, goats, and a single dog was taken. It is thought that the dog was a stand-in or symbolic of, or in honor of, the wolf. The young men of the town would arrive, and in ancient times, these were priests, known as the Luperci, or Brothers of the Wolf, who would then dress in loincloths of fleece or furry animal skins. But they could be nude as well. The clue to this part of the tradition was actually cited or documented in the 2nd century by an historian named Justin.
At the foot of the mountain was built a temple to the Lycian, whom the Greeks called Pan, and the Romans Lupercus. The naked statue of the god being covered in a goat skin, in which also dressed the priest, as they run up and down during Lupercalia in Rome. Upon the Lupercal altar, a male goat or goats and a dog were sacrificed by one or another of the Luperci. After the blood sacrifice, two Luperci approached the altar. Their foreheads were then anointed with blood from the sacrificial knife, then wiped clean with wool soaked in milk, after which they were expected to laugh.
In the antiquated writings, there is also mention of something called the caprificus, which was a goat fig tree. And this sacred tree was next to the shrine of the goddess Romina, who was said to protect breastfeeding women. And I promise you, this does play into the purpose of the holiday. After the animals were prepared, nothing went to waste, which we appreciate around here for sure. The lamb or goat meat was slow roasted in a mix of spices, milk, honey, and olive oil, along with root vegetables to later be served at the start of the festivities. There were also fruits and wine, and some manner of little cakes that I mentioned earlier that could only be prepared by the Vestal Virgins. Do we have any out? Never mind. Briefly, a note about these young women. They took a vow of chastity to the priestess Vesta, the goddess of the Roman home fire or hearth and flame. And if they ever broke their vow, let's just say that very bad things happened to both them and their lovers. How sad. Anyway, as Justin stated, two male priests would solemnly stand to have the sacred blood of the sacrifice ceremoniously wiped upon their foreheads, and then a clump of wool that had been soaked or dipped in milk was then used to wipe away this blood. And the young men or priests were then expected to let out a joyous laugh. This laugh would signal the wild part of the frenzied celebration. Then the barely clad young men fashioned something called Februa, which again meant to wash or cleanse or purify. These Februa were long strips of fresh leather or ribbons of skin from the sacrificed animals, with the hair or fur of the animals still attached to them, making a kind of soft flail, which they would take off running with in their hands, whipping and waving the long strips of skin about all around the city and up and down the streets. The young men excitedly striking or slapping others with them, particularly women. And this, my dear guests, was considered a good thing. It says here that the buxom men would flirtatiously flick or slap the ribbons of flayed goatskins across the women's hands, and that the women could often be seen willingly or even wantonly stepping into the path of the running men, or shockingly presenting their hands to them to be struck on purpose. Now, why, you ask? Well, I say why not, but the primary reason why was in the name of fertility. You only need to read almost any ancient text or manuscript that mentions motherhood, babies, or a baby being born to know that conception, pregnancy, and childbirth was not only not well understood at all long ago, it was also difficult, extremely worrisome, and unbelievably dangerous for both the mother and child. Mortality rates were tragically high. And this curious act of having one's hands smacked with the fresh slips of animal hide was seen as a cleansing ritual to protect any pregnant woman, and as a kind of good luck charm or a blessing for anyone, but especially women, hoping to find true love and to eventually become pregnant and to have a happy, healthy family. There are stories of young couples meeting for the first time at the Feast of Lupercalia, falling in love, and having just this very thing happen. See? Nice! And now a word from our attorneys, Snidely and Whiplash. If you somehow sail the crooked edge and are known to go your own way, get the lawyers who've taken a pledge to keep nosy do-gooders at bay. Do you cast spells or raise the dead to bring harm and do your bidding? Our lawyers fill the courts with dread. They're vicious, and we're not kidding. Snidely and Whiplash will make them pay when they accuse you of your crime. They'll lead the judge and the jury astray, giving you the plaintiff's last dime. They'll be sorry they ever accused you when they're skint and stripped of cash. Their newfound ruin will amuse you when they're wrecked by Snidely and Whiplash. If you're like us and always being charged with some nonsense or another, hire our lawyers, Snidely and Whiplash. They'll make sure the jury is deadlocked, and the stoolie who brought the charges will end up in a bankrupt headlock. Call Snidely and Whiplash at 1-800-CULPRIT. That's 1-800-CULPRIT. I mean, you have to be on your own side in this world, don't you? So, what happened to February's fun fertility frolic? I hear you thinking. Why can't we honor the horned god Pan and the life-saving she-wolf, Lupa. Why? Well, I'll tell you. The holier-than-thou organized religion party pooper showed up. The festival of Lupercalia survived in time until about the year 495 of the Common Era. That is when Pope Galatius declared that Lupercalia was a public crime. And get this, an instrument of depravity. He also made a decree that a new saint was to have their own feast day, the day preceding Lupercalia, February 14th. And the saint was Saint Valentine. There is old speculation as to whether this was done intentionally to usurp Lupercalia. But I'm just going to go ahead and say that it was, because obviously today we have one and not the other. Until this spring, anyway. And I invite you. You heard me earlier. I'm afraid it's time for us to put you out, my lovelies. Please let handsome Mr. Darling walk you out safely to the veranda, and mind where you step everywhere on the property, please, folks, because of the lambs and goats. They're not potty trained. Neither is Irma, come to think of it. Good night, my dear guests. Good night. And now we have a surprise for you. We in the Midnight Library are thrilled to introduce just what you've been waiting to get your boogery fingers on. Books from the Midnight Library shelves. But books with a single catch. You must write them. We're pleased to be releasing the first set of Midnight Library blank books. They are journals, a dream book, a planner, an address book, and a recipe book. Now available on Amazon. The titles are Dreams in the Witch House, a Dream Journal, The League of Lady Grave Diggers, Where the Bodies Are Buried, for record keeping, Spells to Correct Annoying People, that one's self-explanatory, Ghoul Fiends, a Planner and Address Book, The Witch's List. Well, I'm sure the beep explains this one. And Grim Recipes for Ghoulish Gatherings, a recipe book from Grimm's Grocers. All of our fine blank books have pages in the layout directed by their titles, with ruled lines for journaling and planning and recipes, or for keeping addresses, or more importantly, secrets. Find them on Amazon under their titles or by the name of the collection, Forbidden Books from the Midnight Library.
Do you know, madam, now that I've heard the story of Lupercalia, I'm quite keen on participating.
You? In a furry loincloth? Now I'm confused.
I'm going as a wolf, madam. I'm literally all fur.
Oh, right. But if you're a wolf, you won't get to join in the playful flirting games of chase.
Ah, but I will be a guest of honor. Who can outrun any of the slowpokes?
Of course. Fast food. I should have known.
Oh.
The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary, and everything will be just fine.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.